traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. This is Scott Miller with International Equine Network, and bringing to you today, Thursday at 1 o'clock, like we do every Thursday, the International Equine Report. And we're going to talk a little bit about some show horses today. We're going to talk a little bit about a riding academy today. And then we're going to talk a lot about the Kentucky Derby. It's 4 weeks away from this coming Saturday. And it's really down to who's going to be there. We got three races on Saturday. We've got the Santa Anita Derby, the Wood Memorial that we have coming up on Saturday. And we're going to be so excited to see how they come out, because it's going to make a big difference in the Derby races, you know, when they're coming out. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how that happens. And, you know, the last week's been pretty good for Derby horses. These three races that we got, actually we got four. We got the Lexington Stakes coming up on the 19th of April from Keeneland. And that will tell us a lot. You know, that will be the last potential Derby points that anybody could get to get in. And that would make it 2 weeks away from the Kentucky Derby, which kind of tough, you know, to come back and run in the Derby after, you know, 2 week layoff, because it's kind of quick turnaround for a thoroughbred. But then we got the Bluegrass Stakes on Saturday. We got the Wood Memorial and the Santa Anita Derby. And that's going to kind of pretty much close out the Derby season for 2022. And then we're just waiting for the big dance on the first Saturday in May. And we'll know who all's there, you know, in that. So it's that time of year. We're excited about it. We're trying to get everybody, you know, involved in the business, you know, on our programming and our shows and everything that we're doing. So, you know, it's that time of year. And then it's just a roller coaster after this. I'm telling you, it's going to be something, one thing right after the other, all summer long, and that includes all of our, all the equine industry. This is the big time of year for everybody, and I'm ready to get started with it. And before you know it, the fall will be back here, and everybody will be heading back down to Florida. Just about all of our standardbred horses have left here at Sunshine Meadows and gone back up north. They had a real good season here, good season training. We had great weather this winter. It was fantastic. Very few rain days that we had. Nobody missed any training, which was good. Todd Pletcher has sent most of his horses have gone back up north to Kentucky and New York. The younger horses and the older horses that are just now coming back into training are up there at Saratoga for Todd. So, you know, it's looking all pretty good. And like I said, everything here in Florida is slowing down. The winter season is over. The spring and summer season is starting. So we're looking forward to it. Now, one of the things that we talked about last week was that the Palm Beach International Equestrian Center was sold. They sold it to a company from Europe. And they're putting it all together, and it's now called the Wellington International Equestrian Club. So it's going to be our Wellington International. I think they just leave it at that. But that's where they go, and they're looking forward to a good new year coming up. The exciting part about that is they've got a lot of new things that they're going to be bringing. And just when you know, you think it couldn't get any better than it is at Wellington, the things that they're putting on at the Wellington International and the remodeling they're doing and everything is be state of the art, and they'll be in the top five in the world when it comes time for show facilities. There'll be Wellington International. There will be the World Equestrian Center in Ocala, Tryon in North Carolina. You know, and then of course Lexington in Kentucky. You know, it's just going to be just amazing, and to see what comes out of it. But the final Saturday Night Lights is days away. Elevate your experience with VIP seating. If you've ever wanted to go to an equestrian event and do it upright, it's worth investing the money to go up to the final Saturday Night Lights at the old Palm Beach Equine International Center. It's really good there. So that's it's Saturday night on April the 9th at 7:30. They have the $35,000 Wellington National Golf Club Spring One Grand Prix. They will have an international field of riders, and it's just going to be a great way to close down Palm Beach Equestrian Center there and get it going. I always get it up, mixed up, but it's a PBIEC, Palm Beach International Equestrian Center. Gates open at 6:30 p.m. Competition begins at 7:30, and it's free. Its mission is free. Now, you can't beat that, folks. You know, you talk, and you're at one of the premier equestrian show facilities in the world, and you can go up there for free. They're going to have music. They have all kinds of food vendors. You name it, they'll have it up there. You might be able to get up there in time to get a PBIC, you know, shirt or get some memorabilia, you know, that you could have for down the road. But that's really going to be great, you know, to see. Parking is $20 per carload, and valet parking is $30 per carload. And so, you know, for $30, you could get your car parked by a valet. And it doesn't cost you anything to get in, so it's really well worth to get the valet parking, you know, up there. And that starts, again, gates open at 6:30, and the competition begins at 7:30. And it's a night long. They got a little bit of everything up there. They got things for the kids. They got things for the adults. They got great food. They got all kinds of VIP packages that are available if you want to get a table around the arena to set, you know, set at. It's really going to be a great time up there. So go up to the old, to the new Wellington International, and you'll see what it's all about. And then, again, we go back to a lot of the different things that are coming along now here at this time of year. And I tell you, you know, every time I get up in the morning and I get on the computer and I start looking at all the different things that that are available, you know, to the equestrians and the equestrians in the community. You know, it's just everywhere you go, it's just unreal, you know. And so the other morning I got up and I got this email, and it was from Georgetown Riding Academy. It's www.georgetownridingacademy.com. It's in Georgetown, Kentucky. It's on Cincinnati Road there in Georgetown. And I said, my goodness, I said, this is really something that, and I've been in and out of Kentucky all my life, and I really never did notice this place. But the Riding Academy is a premier American saddlebred lesson facility owned and operated by Bill Roberts and Kristen Goforth. They're located in Georgetown, just minutes from Interstate 75 and 20 minutes from downtown Lexington. Now, the barn sits on a lush 12-acre farm, while rolling hills and a creek stretching the length of the property. The facilities include a newly constructed barn, complete with office, viewing room, and indoor riding arena. They founded Georgetown Riding Academy with one goal in mind, giving our students the best, most rewarding learning experience that they can get. They have passionate and skilled instructors, and they're here to help the students achieve their goals. Are you ready to reach out for your potential? Go join them. That's what you got to do. You got to go join them. And, you know, you think riding academies and riding schools and you know, oh, that's for the elite. That's for the very best. Well, let me tell you something about Georgetown Riding Academy. They have classes and they have events for all skills, all ages. So you don't have to be an accomplished equestrian. You could be a brand new equestrian starting out, and you can go up and take lessons at the Riding Academy. And they're really good people. They place you right where you should be, and that's when it becomes fun. When you're at a level that you're feel good and you can see improvement, self-improvement as you take your lessons. They've got riding lessons, tournament and academy teams. They got horse camps. You name it, they have it year-round. They got that nice indoor arena there. And it's really good, you know, for a new person starting out in the horse business to go up and do something like that. That's where it's really, you know, good for them, you know, to do that. And who knows, you might end up being a world champion someday. But like I was saying, you know, some of the things that we're talking about here, you know, today, and most of it's going to be pretty much geared towards the Kentucky Derby because we're getting down to the last 30 days. And this is the important part on how they get there that we've been talking about over the last, actually since last November, since the Iroquois in Churchill, where it all starts at. And, you know, I keep saying it's a difficult journey to get there. I've been down that road quite a few times with the people that I worked for over the last, 45 years. And it's been exciting, each and every one. And we call it how they get there, because what we do is we go to all the different things that it takes to get you to the Kentucky Derby. And it's for everybody. You know, it's just not for, the elite. You can be one of the smallest horses in the business, outfits in the business, and then you just take it and go from there. And this is how they start off getting there. It's a huge, huge effort, endeavor. It takes a lot of man hours. It takes a lot of forethought. It can take a lot of money, or it can take very little money. We've had horses come back and win the Kentucky Derby that have made very little money, and we've had horses that made a lot of money that have gotten there, but they're all on the same path. The path that we've lined up on how they get there, you can't change it. This is the only way to get there. And that's why we were so adamant about what we were doing and how we were doing it. You know, here every week talking about all the different things that come up. And the journey, as we say at the beginning of the show, the journey starts here, and that it does. The journey starts with the owner, you know, of the horse. And we highlighted Claiborne Farm in Lexington, or in Paris, Kentucky, actually. And they've been around forever. They do it right. It's old school. You know, people, it's just really good. It's really a great place to go visit. If you're ever in Paris or the Lexington area, I would suggest that you go down to see Claiborne Farm and see all the champions that they've had and where they're going. And you can see, a lot of things. It's very historical, and it's very, very, interesting to see the business from that end, from the farm end of it. But like I said, it starts with the owner, and the owner has to sit down and kind of figure out in his mind what he wants to do. And you got to think about, am I going to buy a horse, try to buy a horse for the Derby, with the Derby in mind? Or am I going to breed a horse? Am I going to do a syndication with other people that already have a horse? There's just so many things that goes through the owner's mind. And theoretically, most of the people would really like to have the horse on their own, you know, that type of thing. But sometimes, you get into syndication and it works. Other times, you're by yourself. And the great thing about a syndication is if something happens along the way in a syndication, you don't take, much of a financial fall as you would if you're just the outright owner. So that's where the owner has to make up in his or her own mind how they want to, go forth for this new season for the Kentucky Derby. And so that new season for the 2023 Kentucky Derby starts now. It starts now. So, we're trying to finish up and get to the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown now with the plan that we had last year. So So last year's plan is coming to an end, and next year's plan is starting to begin. And how that begins is with the equine sales. We've got a couple of equine sales that are coming up here soon, 2-year-olds in training. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they come out with all the things that you have to on your mind. The first thing is selecting a sale to go to, you know, and where do you go to that sale? You know, do you go international and go abroad to Europe maybe? Or do you stay here at home? Do you go East Coast, West Coast, North or South? All these things that are going on now are just, you know, starting to hit. And that's why we were talking about this yesterday. Coming up here and show you how quick it gets in April and the spring and everything, we have the OBS 2-year-old training spring sale. That comes up on April the 19th through the 22nd at 10:30 a.m. There. The horses will be in training. I think the under tax sale is on a few days before that. And it's nice to go out and take a look at them and see them, you know, under tack and how they're doing and just, you know, where they're going, you know, with their training, how well they're going. You know, so that's coming up here on the 29th of April, or the 19th and 22nd of April. So that's what an owner thinks about. If you go to the two-year-old training sales, whether it's in Kentucky, New York, or wherever, you kind of cut out a lot of expenses. And when I say you cut out a lot of expenses, man, you're telling me, you know, you don't have to be raising them for 2 years and paying money out of pocket, you know, to get them to the point to where they're going into training. When you go to the in training sales, you're selecting horses that could literally be running, you know, in 6 months, you know, for the fall. You literally could have a horse ready to run in the Iroquois Stakes, which is at Churchill in the fall, and that starts off the road to the Kentucky Derby, the Iroquois Stakes. And then 30 days after that, in November, you got the Breeders' Cup. So you have major stake races available to you right off the bat. And let's say you buy one in the OBS spring sale at the Ocala Breeders' Sale. You're looking at April 19th. And then you're looking, you know, at May, June, July, August, September, and October coming up for, you know, to be running in a major race for the Kentucky Derby to earn points to get into the Kentucky Derby. So the owner's got so many things to think about, you know, and that's just one little part of it that he has to do, deciding about the horse. And then after he decides about what type of horse he's going to have and, you know, where he's getting it, and once he gets that all under control, he meets with his trainer. And a lot of times, a lot of owners will have a trainer already hired for his stable, and he'll talk it over with the trainer what to get, where to get it, and how to get it, you know, into the barn. And so that's a pretty big, important step there, because trainers, you know, they're trying to figure out, is this horse going to be a horse that we have to train, you know, for the distance, or is he going to sprint? Where are we going to run him at? The trainer has a lot of things on his mind to do. Then he takes it back to the owner, and the owner and the trainer, they agree, this is the horse we're going to get, and this is the training program we're going to go for. We're all, and everybody, whenever you got a two-year-old, you're always looking for the Kentucky Derby. That's your main goal. And then if, you know, somewhere along the line, you're going to decide whether he's going to be a horse that can be competitive and maybe get to the Kentucky Derby. And that's something that the owner and trainer have to do. And when they decide that, then, you know, the horse's journey goes on its own path to get there. And I'll never forget sitting at Gulfstream Park one day, and a reporter talking, I was talking to Woody Stevens. And Woody said, he said, you know, these reporters, he said, that's the toughest part about this business is having all these reporters asking you questions all the time. And we were sitting outside of Woody's office at his barn, and a reporter comes walking through. Woody had several horses that he was running on Florida Derby Day. And then one reporter says, Woody, he says, how did you win five Belmonts in a row? And Woody looked up and he says, you know, he said, Buddy, he said, if I could write a book on how I won those five Kentucky, those five Belmont Stakes in a row, he said, I'd write a book and everybody'd be winning. He said, there's no certain way to train a horse. Each horse is different. Some horses can take heavy training. Some horses need light training. And that was his whole point. His whole point was the fact that you never know how your horse is going to react to training and to the racing and everything. So that's another stop on the journey, you know, that the owner has to, you know, really think about, and the trainer, you know. So those two look at that. And then, you know, things starting to fall into place. One of the things that that you can do early in your journey to the Kentucky Derby is you line up your equine transportation. That's very important. You don't want to have any last-minute calls or anything. You want to know who can get your horses to the different tracks that you're going to, who can get your horses to the airport in case they have to fly, who will get your horse eventually to Churchill Downs for the Kentucky Derby. You set that all up a year in advance. And not that you're ready to give them dates yet, but you just have that connection and you meet with that transportation agent and say, this is where we're going and this is how we think we're going to do it. You know, and so you're going to be our transportation people and this is where we're going to go with it. So once you've established all that and you've got everything all set up with transportation, that's something that's just a phone call away, and you can take that at any given time. And, you know, you take 10 minutes out of your day and you make that transportation to get your horse to the different tracks and everything. So that's something that you eliminate stress-wise from the owner and the trainer is the equine transportation. Then the next thing that's very key to what you're doing is you meet with your blacksmith. And you meet with a blacksmith, and a friend of mine, Steve Smith, is probably the best blacksmith that I've ever seen. He knows what to do with the horses and how to do it, and he will do. He will consult with the owner and the trainer, and they set up a schedule with the way the horse is training, how often he's going to be shod, where he's going, race day shoeing. Mud shoeing, turf shoeing, they go all over those things, and what kind of shoe to put on the horse, and you know, it's a plan, another plan that's all laid out a year in advance, so you don't have to at the last minute to be you know, calling up and saying, hey, you know, what do we do, you know, when are you going to be here? The blacksmith will have an idea of a regular schedule. And he'll be right on top of it, you know, that type of thing. And then you also meet with your blacksmith, and you ask him, say, hey, if you can't make it here, you know, if I got a shoe that comes off and you're in California and I'm in New York, who do I call? So you set up a backup to your blacksmith that can help him out, you know, that can take care of all your needs that you need to do. So that's another thing that you set up a year in advance. You get on a regular schedule. Of course, it's not a set schedule. It'll change, you know, accordingly. But, you know, that's the most important thing that you can do, you know, and I'm trying to eliminate all the stressful moments in a horseman's day, you know, to help you get to the Kentucky Derby, because as things start to pile up, it can get very stressful. The other thing that you set up, you meet with the feed dealer. And I like hallway feed. A hallway feed can literally make feed for your horses to your custom blend. It's made fresh and it's delivered anywhere in the world. Let me repeat that again: anywhere in the world. The hallway feed people have got it down. They know where they can get it to you, how to get it to you, and on a timely manner. And you get in a weekly schedule, you know, or daily schedule with them feeding, you know, that type of thing. And you do that a year in advance. So when you're in New York, they tell you who you're going to be getting your feed from in New York or California, Florida, Kentucky, Maryland. You know, they have people everywhere. So your horse stays on the same diet. It doesn't change anywhere when he goes from state to state or track to track. It stays the same, and that helps your horse run. So, you know, that's what you're looking at, you know, with the feed. Another one that you set up a year in advance. And so that to me is very important. It's to get into a routine, a daily routine, and you get a book in, you know, a little diary, and it gives all the things that you do daily, weekly, and yearly, you know, that type of thing. So then you start looking at, after you get all those things there together and the owner and the trainer are happy, then what you do is you start looking at the Kentucky Derby prep races. And it's amazing to come out and see the amount of Kentucky Derby prep races that you have to go through just to get to the Kentucky Derby. You know, you kind of think like, oh my goodness, you know, how do I do this? Well, it's a 36 race series that awards points to the top four finishers in each race in the Kentucky Derby point system. And it says the top 19 or 20 point earners will earn a spot in the starting gate for the 148th running of the $3 million Kentucky Derby presented by Woodford Reserve. It's a grade one on Saturday, May 7th, 2022. One invitation will be extended to the top point earners in Europe to the Kentucky Derby. One invitation will be extended to the top point earner in Japan. You know, it just goes to show you this is an international thing. And they do the same thing in Japan and Europe, trying to get their horses there to get their points, you know, to qualify. So, you know, you start looking at that. And... You know, I was sitting here thinking the other day that there's a Japanese horse that'll be coming in that's really a nice horse, and so we'll talk about that later. But, you know, they're starting to make a strong presence in the racing industry. They had a real good season so far in Dubai, and, you know, that's what we're all looking for. But the road to the Kentucky Derby in the point standings is just, you know, you don't know where to go and when to do it and how to do it. And, you know, like we were saying before, you know, this thing starts out back at the Iroquois Stakes at Churchill Downs to get these horses on the right road to the Derby. And, you know, the thing that I was trying to explain to a person the other day is that you have the master plan. Let's say everything's going to go good and you just set it right in there and this is the way it's going to go. We're going to hit these five, six races to get to the Derby. And then next thing you know, we're in the Derby and we're going to win it. That's the master plan. But a lot of things happen. A lot of things happen along the road to the Derby. You've got a horse that can run bad. He could get injured. He could just not be the type of horse that, you know, is going to run in the Kentucky Derby. There's just so many things. So you have to have a secondary plan. And when you have that secondary plan for going on the road to the Kentucky Derby, this is the way you deal with it. You say, okay, if he gets injured or if he gets sick and we have to back off training for him, you know, for a while, what would be our contingency plan to race him? And we'll say, for example, let's say he gets sick before he goes into the Arkansas Derby, which is 5 weeks away from the Kentucky Derby. You sit back and you say, okay, well, we're going to give him a week off, bring him back. We still need to run him one more time before the Derby. So then you start looking at things like the Santa Anita Derby, the Bluegrass Stakes, the Lexington Stakes, you know, those type of races that are closer, you know, to the Derby, but yet still enough, you know, to put a nice finish on your horse for the Derby. So that's what you look at, you know, that type of thing. And it's kind of hard when you get all these things in mind because it's time consuming. You got to start looking at races for your horses, for your two-year-olds, literally starting in August. A lot of people start with Saratoga and get a good foundation under them at Saratoga and then try to make it to the Iroquois at Churchill and then to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile in there. So, and those are tough roads to go. And usually the horses that do fare very well, you know, in those early races like that, especially like the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, they usually don't come back and do very good in the Derby because they're run pretty hard as a two-year-old, and it's awful tough. It's awful tough, you know, to get them there, you know, when you start that road to the Derby. And so those are the three, you know, primary ones for the, you know, for the two-year-olds. And so then you come back, and after that, you start planning your year out. And from, you know, you're looking at from the first of the year, 5 months. And a thoroughbred usually only runs, you know, 4 or 5 weeks apart. And it makes it kind of tough because you got to earn the points to get to the Kentucky Derby. And earning those points can become difficult sometimes. I tell you, they've got a lot of prep races, like, say, for the Arkansas Derby. They got a lot of prep races that come in and go for, you know, the Louisiana Derby, Santa Anita Derby. All the races have prep races that lead up to that big race that has the big points in. And so that's, you know, where we're looking at, you know, to go. And the thing that, that, you know, I started looking at now, and it really determines on who I like for the Kentucky Derby. And we'll talk about Epic Center, for example. This is a nice horse. He's trained by Steve Asmussen, all-time leading winning trainer in the world in thoroughbreds. He's a great, great guy. Got a good owner and breeder in it, Westwood Farms and Winchell Thoroughbreds. They're really professional. They know what they're doing. And when they get somebody a horse, that owner, you know, gets with the right horse, like Steve Asmussen, gets the right horse to him, and they're really pretty much successful. And so, point wise, Epic Center is at the top. He's got 164 points. He's made on non-restricted stakes earnings $940,000. On career earnings, he's made $1.1 million. So, you know, he's been running against all the big boys and all the big guns. And so, you know, he's seasoned, and he's a horse that could be, you know, right there. And he did all his running early. And then we have White Arbarium. He's a stave by Staffy Joseph Jr. I mean, Joseph Staffy Jr., sorry about that. And he's a great horse in itself. He's got 112 points, 769,000 in stakes earnings, and 823,000 total. So you're sitting there thinking, like, you know, this is another horse that you got to really go back and look over his career and how he got to where he got, who he ran against, and where he ran. How traveled was he? Did he stay close to his region where he was training at, or did he travel a lot? That's a big thing, right? You know, right there in itself, just on that one alone. And so now you're looking at 112 points, 164 points for Epic Center, number one, second place, 112. Big difference. So that shows you Epic Center was running in races that were giving big Derby points. So he was tough there. And then you come down to Tis the Bomb. Tis the Bomb's got 110 points in Derby points. He's trained by Kenny McPete. He's made $1 million roughly in restricted stakes earnings. In career earnings, he's made $1 million. So that's telling you right there that Tis the Bomb has made most of his money running in stake races. So that adds a whole other thing to, you know, to look at the top three. You got Epic Center that's made a lot of money. Got 164 points, ran in a lot of tough races. White Arbarium is on his way up. He's climbing on his way up by starting to run in big stakes races. And then you got Tis the Bomb down at third. It's got $1 million in most of his money. In fact, all his money pretty much come out of stake races. So, you know, you're kind of sitting there and scratching your head thinking, like, wow, that's tough. Then we had a new horse on the scene. He had Cyberknife, which is a nice horse. He's got 100 points. He's got 752,000 in restricted states, and he's got 860,000 total in his career. So he's sitting there, you know, he's on his way up. You know, we're looking at another horse, a simplification. He's a nice horse. You know, he's on his way up. Classic Causeway, he's been up and down on the ladder. Slow Down Andy, we don't know where if he's going to slow down or if he's going to speed up whenever you see him running. You know, he hasn't really stood out front. Barber Road, he's a nice horse. You know, he's good. You don't know where he's going to go. He's lightly raced. He's got 58 points. You know, it's just when you start looking at all these things that are going on, you just kind of scratch your head and think. Now, Forbidden Kingdom is a horse that I like a lot. He's got 50 points altogether. He's a nice horse. He's had his ups and downs. I've seen him run good, seen him run bad. Seen him train good, seen him train bad. You know, he's pretty nice. We've got another Steve Ashmussen horse that's got 50 points, Morello. He seems to be on the swing, upswing. He's really a tough horse. And, you know, I think he's the one that's flying under the radar. But the horse that really has really impressed me over the last 45 days, and I think in the way he ran last weekend, his name's Charge It. And this horse come flying at the end. He was little green. You know, he's a horse that Todd Pletcher trains, and I think this horse is going to be knocking on the door, you know, pretty quick. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens with him. So, you know, like I'm saying before, the road to the Derby is taking a whole different thing with all these prep races. There's so many prep races that these horses have to go through, and there's all different kinds of ways to get through. You know, you might come out like an Epic Center and guarantee, you know, your place in the Derby by running, by winning one or two, you know, big stake races, and then just kind of come back and just have some races just to tune him up, tighten him up, you know, for it. And so the top 20 horses are going to be interesting for us here to see what's going on. That's like I was really interested in the races that we just had last week. Weekend at Gulfstream, we had the Florida Derby. We had a lot of the horses that we just talked about in that race. But Wider Barrio, he came out the winner. He went by a length and a quarter. He was really good. He was going a mile and a 16th. You know, $1 million race, and he got points, big points for that. Charge It ran second. You know, gee whiz, you know, he's lightly raced and he's running second, running at him. So that tells me that he knows what's all going on and where it's coming from. You know, so I was, you know, excited about that. And then you got down to Simplification, which was third. And, you know, Papa Cap, which was a tough horse in the beginning. You know, but those, coming out of that, going to the Derby, you'll see Wider Barrio, Charge It, Simplification, and maybe Papa Cap, maybe. You know, but we'll just have to wait and see how they unfold. And that's what a lot of trainers are looking at now, you know, like who's going to be coming, you know, at us and everything. We had the Jeff Ruby Stakes, which was a good race up at Turfway. And they had Derby points in there. And Tis the Bomb, which is a horse that we just, you know, had talked about last week. He was there. And then pretty much from that, from him back on, was, you know, not, there, and a lot of those horses won't be running in the Derby or have even close to having Derby points. You know, they'll be running on the undercard at Churchill on Derby Day, and they're good horses, you know, but they just didn't have enough points, you know, to get there. And then the Arkansas Derby was the one that I said, you know, this is gonna get rid of a lot of horses in here. And the horse that won it was a Cyber Knife. The horse won it by 2 3/4 lengths. Barber Road, he was second. And then we had the filly, Secret Oath. Secret Oath was third. She ran a good race. She had a lot of, I wouldn't say issues, but she just got into an area where it was going to be tough on her to, you know, to get where she was going. She made a good, strong, you know, run at it. And everybody thought that that filly might go on to the Derby like Winning Colors did. But, you know, Wayne kind of evaluated her after the race. And he says, he's taking dead aim on the Kentucky Oaks now with Secret Oak. Dreams of Roses have been replaced by a Blanket of Lilies. And what lies ahead for Breeland Farms' brilliant filly, Secret Oak. She's a nice horse trained by D. Wayne Lucas. And I'm telling you what, that filly can flat out run. And she's going to run in a lot of different things, you know, coming up here over the summer. You'll see her at Saratoga. You'll see her at Keeneland in the fall. You know, you're going to see her at Churchill this spring. And also, you know, it's one of those journeys that they tried to get on. They did the right things, but they just didn't have the, you know, the points to get there with them. And again, like I said, it goes back to a lot of things. It goes back to the trainer, to the owner. What path do you take? How do we get there? You know, and if they don't, like, for example, she ran good in the Derby, in the Arkansas Derby, but Wayne didn't feel like it was, you know, a race that would get her, you know, a win in the Kentucky Derby. And she's good enough to run in the Kentucky Derby, but he said it took a lot out of her. And, you know, he wants to rest her up, you know, a good 3 or 4 weeks, you know, before the Kentucky Oaks. And in my opinion, she'll probably be an easy winner in the Kentucky Oaks. So I look forward to that. But again, that's that path, you know, that you start on for the Kentucky Derby. And if something happens along that line, like running third in the Arkansas Derby, you know, you say, hey, I'm going to take a different path. And you know, with her being a filly, she could go to the Oaks. And with if it would have been a colt, you know, they could have taken another path and said, well, we'll go for an undercard stakes race at Churchill and get this horse ready for the Preakness. You know, so again, it's that journey that gets you there. And so now we're coming down to a lot of the guys that have plans to run in the Kentucky Derby. They don't particularly have enough points to get into the Kentucky Derby, or they want to secure their position in the point standing on the Kentucky Derby by adding a few more points to the Kentucky, to their point total. And it's the ninth race. It's the Toyota Bluegrass Stakes. It's a grade one. Post time is at 5:10 p.m. Eastern time. It's for, going for $1 million, and they're going a mile and an eighth on the dirt. And this has always been a classic race. Not a lot of Derby winners have come out of the Bluegrass over the years, because it was so close, you know, to the Kentucky Derby. Some trainers like to have old school 5 weeks, you know, two there. But it's going to be kind of an interesting race. There's a lot of good horses in this race, and they're separated. There's a dramatic difference between three or four of them that are in here, the ones that probably won't see in the Derby. Todd Pletcher has got two in there. He's got Command Performance. He's lightly raced, and we don't know what kind of horse he's going to be. When he comes out of, he came out of Florida to go up to Kentucky, he really looked good. He was on his toes. He arrived at Kentucky and was in good shape. So everybody was pleased. And then Todd has Emmanuel. He's a nice horse, kind of low on the radar, always showed up, always trained good, always showed that potential. And we don't know if the crowd at Keeneland is, for the Bluegrass is going to stimulate him, get him excited, you know, till he wants to run, if he gets the part of it, or if it's going to scare him to death. I think he's going to run. I think he's going to be a tough one to beat. We have Wayne Lucas has Ethereal Road, a lightly raced horse coming in. You know, he's been in hot springs, a nice horse. We have Rattle and Roll, which came out here. He had a couple of real good races in his journey, and he's another one that's unknown. We have Smile Happy. Smile Happy is a horse that I think got a lot of hype, and, you know, he just hasn't proved to do or be what they think he would was going to be. You know, I think that's another one. I'm not going to say overrated, but I just don't think he belongs in this group of horses. And then we have Grantham, trained by Mike Maker. Don't know really much about him. He's a nice horse. I just would like to see him run a little bit longer and run a little bit on the turf to see what happens with him there. So, you know, it's going to be interesting for the Bluegrass on Saturdays. That's post time, 5:10 Eastern time. And it's going to be on TV. You can go to IENTV.org and watch it on our website. And so that's going to be exciting. That's the $1 million Toyota Bluegrass offering Derby points. And so I'm really happy about that. That's going to be good. And then the one that's traditional, that a lot of people always hold horses that win this race in high regard over the thoroughbred season. It's race 8, the Wood Memorial at Aqueduct. It's a grade 2, and post time is 4:45 p.m. Eastern time. It's $750,000 going a mile and an eighth on the dirt. We've got Todd Pletcher horses. We've got McDonagall, which is was really pumped and really thought of highly. And then he just kind of leveled off, and so we don't know how good or where he's going to be, you know, in this situation at Aqueduct. On Saturday, we have Golden Cold for Todd Pletcher, another one lightly raced. We don't know where he's really going. He's a New York bred. We'll see, you know, how he comes out of it. And then the third horse that we have in the 8-horse field at Aqueduct and the Wood Memorial is Long Term for Todd Pletcher. He's a nice horse. He's on the up and coming, and I think you'll really see him in the winter circle a lot during the summer in Saratoga in the fall. I think you'll see a lot of him, but I think it'll be interesting to see. And then we have Morello, Steve Asmussen. Morello, again, like I said before, you don't know where he's going to show up, how he's going to run. We don't know how he traveled up there, if they're going to keep him up there and then bring him back to Kentucky. There's just so many that are there that you really don't know about. And then the horse that I think he's going to upset a lot of people, it's Skippy Longstocking. And that horse, I tell you, I think he's got one big race in him, and I don't know if it's going to be in the Derby, the Wood Memorial, or the Preakness. But this horse is certainly going to be a upset winner somewhere along the line. He's going to catch up with somebody. It might be in the Haskell up at Monmouth Park this summer. Could be in the Travers at Saratoga in August. So, you know, that's something that we have to look at there. And so, you know, I'm just, you know, just trying to figure all this out. And you know, I'm going back over where all the trainers have gone, how they've gotten their horses there. And it's just there's not a real direction or point towards them. There's no consistency in the trainers this year that the journey that they're on. You know, you see a horse like, say, for example, the Bluegrass. You know, why are you going to the Bluegrass? Because it's going to be, you know, a pretty good-sized field, you know, to get your horse through. And you know, I said, well, you know, you're going to run against the top horses that are there. And, you know, so that's what you look at. And then you turn around and you look at all the West Coast races this year. Bob Baffert, which is he's serving his suspension from Kentucky and all the different states for the next 90 days. So, you know, that took him out of the picture. But this is one thing that was interesting about the Road to the Kentucky Derby coming through California. A lot of their races were very light in participants, very, very light. And so I looked on the card for Saturday at Santa Anita, and they got a lot of horses that are just fields that are just, you know, 5, 6 horse, 7, 8 horse fields. And so the Santa Anita Derby comes up. And I'm sitting here looking. Happy Jack was a big horse at the beginning of the season, which was really good for Doug O'Neill. We're going to see what kind of horse he is. If he runs big, then he might be a horse to really consider in the Kentucky Derby, if he runs big on Saturday. And the post time there is 2:30 p.m. Pacific time, which is 5:30 our time. So we got the Wood Memorial, the Bluegrass, and the Santa Anita Derby all going off about the same time. They'll be televised, of course, and then intv.org will have them live, you know, at those times that we just talked about. Now we're looking, like I said, at Santa Anita Derby. It's a six-horse field. It's a six-horse field, $750,000. You know, and I'm sitting here thinking, like, well, gee whiz, you got Derby points coming out of this deal. You know, I said, how it doesn't get any better than this. The winner gets $450,000, plus $100 Derby points. Second place gets $150,000, and then they get Derby points for second. 90,000 to third, or 90,000, or 45,000, I mean, to third place. And you know, it's, you make money. You know, you make $15,000 just for running fifth. So one horse ain't going to make any money in this race. But you know, like I said, it's a very light field. They're carrying 124 pounds, which in the Derby they carry 126. The Bluegrass is carrying 118 pounds. And then, you know, we're looking at the Wood Memorial is carrying 123 pounds. So really, when you look at it, you know, the Bluegrass has got the less weight, but you're going to have to add 8 more pounds to it when it comes around to Derby time, you know, 4 weeks away. And that's a lot of weight to add to a horse in running in stiff competition. That's a lot of weight to add, you know, to that. But now you're looking at Santa Anita, where you're going a mile and an eighth, and you're looking at this guy's carrying 124 pounds is what they're carrying. You're looking at a six-horse field, and you're saying, like, scratching your head, saying, well, gee whiz, you know, that's where, you know, that horse might come out of there pretty fresh and pretty, you know, seasoned and ready to go when you look at it, you know, that way. And so now we're looking at Armagnac, which was a Bob Baffert horse that was trained. We're looking at Messier, which was the Baffert horse trained, and Tebbia. Three of those horses are Bob Baffert horses. And we don't know, you know, how they're going to run. I'm sure they're going to run to, you know, the Bob Baffert form, even though they're under a new trainer. You know, he just recently got the horses in the last, you know, few weeks. And so you can't really hardly mess those guys up going into, you know, to a Derby like that. And you literally could see these horses run 1, 2, 3. And that would be kind of like a tribute to Bob Baffert if they go 1, 2, 3, in a big, you know, Kentucky Derby prep race, you know, from there. But, like I said, you know, we really don't know. And that's another thing that comes along on the road to the Derby. You know, Bob, you know how good a Derby winner he is, how good he trains. You know, he's won them all, done a triple crown, done a whole 9 yards and everything. And so now, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, well, you know, if this new guy gets them, it might be a godsend to the new trainer, and he might not have otherwise been in the Derby with the horses that he had, but he's had horses that have been turned over to him that might get him in the Derby. So that's something that you know, the owners really don't anticipate. You know, you got one of the best trainers in the world, Bob Baffert, and everything's looking roses, you know, for you. And then the things that he went through, and and the things that have happened over the last year and everything, and there's nothing you can do about it. You know, that's almost as bad as having a horse getting hurt, you know, before the Derby. So, you know, we don't know, but they still got a shot at running in the Derby, you know, for them. So, you know, you look at that, but again, it goes back to, you know, what you're looking at is you're looking at the owner, you're looking at the trainer, you're looking at all these different things that, you know, that you have to put together, you know, to get your horses there. And that's how they get there. That is how they get there to the Kentucky Derby. And so, you know, having talked about all this last hour about the Derby, it's going to be a great show coming up. Like I said, we got the three races coming up this weekend. Then we have the Lexington Stakes will be the last Derby points race, and that's on April the 19th. And literally, you won't know what that field is until you see what happens, you know, this week, how many points are there. Because I'll be honest with you, there's some of these horses on the bottom of that Derby 20, on the top 20 horses headed for the Derby, some of those guys aren't going to make it. You know, that's just a fact of the matter. You know, they're just not going to make it. You know, when you start getting back into like Rattle and Rose, Seeker, those, she was rated number 20th. She's not going. Rich Strike, I don't think you'll see there. I don't think you'll see Papa Cap there. Ethro Road for Lucas, I don't think you'll see him there. There's a lot of horses that, you know, it's all going to change Saturday. Saturday, everything will be reevaluated. The new Derby top 20 will come out on probably Sunday or Monday and give us, you know, a good idea of who's going to be running in the Derby. And also, but that's how they get there. It's a complicated process, but yet it's simple. Every time your horse goes to the track and trains, you know how it's doing. And then every time it races, you know how you're doing. And you make those decisions to go forward or, you know, maybe back off and take a lesser race and, you know, the things that you need to do. And you really don't want to run a horse in the Derby if he can't win it. You know, it's all nice to get caught up in the hoopla and you know, the tradition and my old Kentucky home and, you know, things of that nature. And that's easy to get, you know, get into that, get that Derby fever, they call it, and all. But to be honest with you, I would say probably only 8 or 9 of those horses going to the Kentucky Derby every year have a legitimate shot at winning it. You know, and we don't know that because we're not around those horses every day. But, you know, that's the honest-to-God truth about it. A lot of those horses shouldn't even be there. But, you know, it's springtime, and you're getting the Derby fever. We got the three-day Rolex coming up in Lexington for the show horse people. We've got the Polo coming up in Lexington. We've got all the different things that are coming up. We've got the sales coming up at OBS coming up here this month. There's just so many things going. We got all the different springtime events for the horse industry. And it doesn't matter whether you're a racehorse man, thoroughbred man, standardbred man, show horse man, sale man. It doesn't matter. Just get out there and see these things. Like I said, up at Wellington, Saturday night, 6:30, gates open, free admission. It's the last Saturday night lights. And I tell you what, it's going to be a show. And it's all free. It is all free. And we're getting towards the end of the show here. Well, I could rattle on. Gee whiz, no wonder why my mom kept telling me, hush up, hush up. And so that's what I'm going to do. Thanks for joining us on the International Equine Report. I look for you next Thursday. Next Thursday, I will actually give you my predictions on the top 5 finishers in the Kentucky Derby. That's next Thursday on International Equine Report. I will give you my top 5 finishers, and that's what we'll go from. And then I've got a lot of other things that I'm going to tell you about on Thursday that can make your Derby week more exciting, and how no matter where you live at, you can participate in the Kentucky Derby and build up to that big Derby Day party that you can have at your house and everything. So This is Scott Miller signing off for the Kentucky Derby edition. We will talk to you next Thursday on how they get there on the International Equine Report.